Open your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to try to finish up the message that we started last Sunday night. Didn't quite make it to verse 9, but I did want to try to review a little bit quickly, and then we're going to get into verses 8 and 9, finish up, shouldn't take too much longer, and we'll have a good amount of time left, hopefully, to take our request before the Lord tonight. But back in chapter 5, we'll begin tonight in verse 6, and then we're going to focus on verses 8 and 9, 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Father, just bless us tonight as we finish up this little context from your word. I pray, Father, our hearts would be open and understand the truths that you have for us. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to all of our hearts tonight through your word. Bless now in Christ's name. Amen. Now, last time we made up to about verse 7 in our context here. And if you remember verses 1 through 4, Peter's talking to the elders, to the leaders about what to do in suffering. Then he begins to kind of transition from the leaders and what their responsibilities are to kind of deal with what is our duty? What should the members of the church be doing? What should the members of Christ's body, how should they respond? How should they react? And what should they do when difficulties, hardships, and suffering come about in our lives? After verse number 4, Peter talks about the younger leaders in verse 5 that need to submit to the elders, and he uses that as a springboard in verse number 5 to, yea, all of you. Now he's talking to all of us as part of the church in general. We are to be subject one to another and to be clothed with humility. Now, beginning at verse number 5 there, Peter is dealing with three areas of responsibility that we have as believers in times of suffering. We already dealt with the first two. The first one was in verse number 5. It is, what is our relationship to be to one another? It is in verse 5, to be subject to one another and to be clothed with humility. This we talked about, the idea of taking on the apron, taking on the robe of humility as we enter our service for the Lord. As we go about our daily lives, when a difficulty comes, a suffering, a trial, a hardship, am I going to handle that with the robe of the flesh? Or am I going to take on the robe of humility in that service? Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In verse number 5 there, those that are endeavoring and praying, Lord, help me to serve in humility. Help me to get through this hardship in humility. Well, God is going to give you the grace. If you have a heart of pride about it, he's going to resist you. If you have a heart of humility in it, wanting to learn from the Lord, he's going to give you grace, which is his unmerited favor, to get you through these circumstances and these difficulties. You know, the flesh often brings the suffering because of evil. A lot of times we suffer hardship because of following the flesh. We follow the flesh, it will end up in a hardship. That's what Peter talks about in some of his other places here when he talked about, you know, don't suffer for evil, or let no man suffer for an evil cause. Well, when we serve in the flesh, when we react in the flesh, the hardships just continue to increase. But in the humility of the Lord, then the grace is given to the humble. The first area then is, what is our relationship to each other? It's humility. The second one that we saw last time, Sunday night, we spent a lot of time on in verses 6 and 7, is, what is our relationship to God in times of suffering, hardships, trials, difficulties, whatever you want to call them? Now remember, verse 6 says, we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. If you remember Sunday night, we mentioned that this is a passive voice verb, which indicates that we, the subjects, are being acted upon in this humbling. It is not that we have to actively go out and humble ourselves. It is that God is bringing a trial, a difficulty, a hardship for the purpose of humbling me. For the purpose of, yes, people are going to have a low opinion of me. Yes, people are going to misunderstand. They're going to look at this situation, and I'm going to be humbled in it. And a very difficult thing to do is to yield to that humbling, to allow the Lord to control the situation and say, Lord, whatever it is, however low you have to take me, however humble you have to make me in this trial and circumstance, I want to yield to it. He's bringing this situation for a purpose. He's bringing it so that in our response to him, we will yield to his will. We talked a lot Sunday night about how hard it is for us to let go of the controls, how hard it is for us to just let go of the flesh. The first thing we do is react. The first thing we do is defend ourselves. The first thing we do is let the flesh just exude from our lives, rather than saying, Lord, are you trying to humble me in this situation? And yield and give the control over to the Lord. My duty is to allow myself to be humbled, to allow myself to be taken into the mighty hand of God who is going to bring me through this situation. This mighty hand of God that we talked about means that God knows our end. He knows where we're going. He knows the path that we're on and where that path is going to end up. Who better to yield to in these circumstances? Verse 7 continues that thought of our relationship to God. Yes, here's the trial in front of me. Here's the difficult scenario that I'm faced with. What do I do, Lord? What is my relationship with you to be? It is to take all my care, my worry, my anxiety, my stress over the problem, whatever it is, and to literally cast it upon the Lord. We talked about that word being used in the Palm Sunday when Christ was entering into Jerusalem. That word was used that the disciples took their cloaks and cast it on the little donkey that Christ was going to ride. Literally, we're going to cast our care upon the Lord. We're going to throw it out. We're going to, Lord, take the worry and drive it away. Ride it out of here. I don't want to have to be concerned with it anymore. We also mentioned that this word to cast also is used in a financial standpoint that, you know, we just like we deposit money in a bank. I mentioned we don't sit outside the bank with our guns guarding the bank. Lord, somebody's going to come in here and steal my money. No, we cast our money in the bank, so to speak, and we pretty much, for the most part, don't worry about it unless it kind of goes in the red. Then we begin to worry about it a lot. But for the most part, we put our deposits in the bank and we think, hey, it's going to be safe. We don't have to worry about that anymore. That's the idea that Peter is giving to the believers here. Yes, it's a difficult time. Yes, it's situations that you will not understand that are going to cause you, in our modern terminology, to stress out, to worry, to just fret over these things. And instead of doing that in these situations, we first allow ourselves to be humbled, and we take all that burden of care, of the unknown, the uncertainty that comes with those things, and we cast them to God. Why do we have that privilege? I mentioned this Sunday. I love this part of the verse. Verse 7, He careth for you. Now, none of the tellers down at the bank or the managers at the bank probably care for you personally. I don't know. Maybe you're on a first-name basis with some of them. Most of the part, they're just, hey, give me my money. Let's put it in the bank. No big deal. They don't really care as much about what's going on. They just want to do that. The government doesn't really care much about you. Your financial advisors and all those people, they may have a little bit of interest in you, but there is one who cares about you to the greatest extent possible, and that's God the Father. As I said, He knows our end. He knows where this pathway is going to take us. And that's where He wants us to end up. He cares. He's concerned for us, even for the small, tiniest things. Who better to cast our care upon than to the one who knows our lives better than we do? To the one who knows our future when we don't know it. Things look uncertain. Things look, Lord, how am I going to get through this? How, Lord, am I going to be able to follow through? Are we going to make it through this situation? He cares for you. We have to take that by faith tonight, dear people, and believe God's word. Cast your care on Him. Don't worry about it. Don't fret over it. Don't stress over it. And I know that's a very difficult thing to do. I'm preaching at myself because we love to get something, oh, I'm worried to death about this thing, and it drives us up the wall and drives us crazy. But yet the Lord says, just cast it on me, and I'm going to take care of it because I care for you as my people. Now, the third area that Peter comes to tonight, not just our relationship to each other, which is that of humility, our relationship to the Lord, which is He's going to humble us and we got to cast our care upon Him. But thirdly tonight, I wanted to come to, what is our relationship we're going to just say the devil. What's our relationship to the adversary? When we're going through this difficult situation, when the Lord is bringing a trial into our life, what's the old devil doing? What's going on between us and Him? What's He doing in relationship to what we are doing in this trial? Verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, before we get into that, I wanted to kind of point out something. Did you know that suffering and persecution comes from two sources? Oh, I shouldn't say really persecution. Suffering can come from God. Did you know that? Verse number 6. The mighty hand of God is going to humble you. There is suffering that God can bring in your life. There are trials that God will bring into your life. But there are also persecutions. I don't know, we don't want to get caught up in terminology, but there's other times when the devil will try to act in a situation. The devil's trying to devour something. The devil's trying to destroy something that's good. Now, I want us to understand tonight that both of those occur. I think a lot of times we blame the devil for everything. Well, the devil, he's just working. He's coming in here, and now the devil does work. But a lot of times I think we need to step back and say, Lord, is this perhaps your hand in my life? We may say, oh, it's the devil. The devil's working in my life. It might be the mighty hand of God that wants to humble you in that trial. And it's so easy for us to just put the blame on the devil. Now, I'm not saying the devil never does anything. Don't misunderstand me. The devil is very active. He's like a roaring lion. He's pursuing and trying to devour and destroy the faith on the earth. But a lot of times, we need to recognize that, Lord, is this something that you brought into my life? Is this something that you are trying to teach me about? Now, this is not to say, as I said, that the devil doesn't have a vested interest or an involvement in what we're going through. He's lurking and watching, hoping that the believer will do what? Give in to the flesh. That the believer will give in to his pride and follow his pride. That the believer will fail in the persecution and not trust God. He doesn't want us to cast our care upon him. He doesn't want us to believe that God's concerned and cares for us. So he's kind of standing back, lurking. He's walking around like a lion, just waiting for the right time to devour, to jump on and destroy. The main emphasis of this passage indicates that while God does bring hardships to our life, the devil is outside of that hardship. Now, I'm talking about even for situations that he doesn't, maybe it's a persecution not from the devil, maybe it's a hardship that God brought in, but the devil's kind of standing right there by the Christian watching. He's waiting. He's lurking, hoping that we will not yield to God, hoping that we'll resist God so that then he will have an occasion to devour the believer. Even while God brings these things, the devil waits eagerly, hoping that we struggle in the flesh. And it is this attitude and awareness of the devil that Peter is going to turn to. Now, in suffering, the most important fact is that we are allowing ourselves to be humbled and we are patiently casting our care on God. In other words, should we be on pins and needles about the devil when we go through a hardship or a suffering or anything about our life? Should we be on pins and needles about what's the devil going to do? No. No. In other words, trusting in God, casting your care on him, allowing yourself to be humbled in him negates the work of the devil. He's waiting for us to not trust God. So if we trust God, we don't give him the occasion, the opportunity, the open window to jump in and attack. He lurks in the background and he's simply waiting for the believer to stop believing or to don't put faith in God in this one situation. Lord, it's hard for me to trust you here. I'm going to control this one. Oh, the devil loves that. He's happy. He's ready to move in now. He's ready to strike. This is why it's so necessary for us to trust in the Lord and not in the flesh, because Satan is waiting to devour and attack. How do I withstand that temptation? How am I able to resist that attack of the devil? How am I able to do it? It's by simply trusting in God. Trust in him. And don't give the devil that window of opportunity when we say, Lord, I got this. I'm going to work in the flesh now. We just appease Satan. He's happy now with that. When God brings a trial, we are to be yielded and humbled. And then verse number 8, there's a couple things that Peter gives, a couple mandates of how we can prevent this attack and occasion of the devil. We already said, first of all, it is by trusting in God. Secondly, Peter gives a couple other things in verse number 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant. This is the combination, really, of trust in God and then effort on our part. You know, there is a responsibility to watch while we're trusting God. I don't want you to think I'm being, you know, we need to keep our eye and see how is the devil going to work in this situation. But we also need to be trusting God. Sometimes we do one without the other. I read a book that mentioned this phrase about Oliver Cromwell. He told his troops, trust in God and keep your powder dry. You know, that's pretty good, I think. That's what we need to do. We're trusting God in this situation, but I'm not going to do anything foolish. I'm going to keep my eye on the enemy. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be vigilant. I'm ready so that if Satan does come in, I'm ready for his attack. the soberness that is mentioned here, be sober, it has the idea of being clear-headed. Clear-headed. In other words, we can think clearly through the trial and persecution. Boy, that is so difficult to do because of one thing. We typically allow emotion to come into our heart and our life. Here I'm going through a difficult situation and my emotions are just going crazy. And the emotions love to cloud the thinking of the mind. Rather than being emotional in the response to the trial, we need to pray, Lord, help me to be sober. I can't keep my eye on the devil and still trust the Lord if I have emotion welling up in my mind and I'm not clear-minded. I'm not sober. I'm not ready. I can't think through the situation. Keeping on the forefront of our mind the reason for the battle and being sober. Maintaining the gravity of the situation in a calm manner, not reacting in emotions and going from one extreme to the other. Just calmly, Lord, I'm trusting in you. Help me to keep my mind clear, my focus on the ministry that you've called me to do. Also, be vigilant. This means to be alert. To be alert to the need and then respond. In other words, we must be ready to meet the attack and not convince ourselves that it's not coming. We'd be foolish to sit back and say, well, I don't think the devil will ever do anything to me. We've got to be alert. We've got to be watching and ready in the situations to make sure we don't give that occasion for him to come in. Maintaining clear thinking through God's word and being alert spiritually to what is coming. Now, even though there may be persecutors involved or a situation or scenario, the attack sometimes, as I said, comes from the devil. He does attack. He's the enemy. He's the foe. You know, I thought about Paul. Paul in his epistles many times emphasizes the snare of the devil, the entrapment of the devil. He mentions the deceit of the devil, where he comes as an angel of light. That's one way that the devil does appear. But Peter, notice, he does not really deal with that aspect, the deceitfulness. He deals with the aggressiveness of Satan. Notice that he says he is a roaring lion. He's actively seeking to devour. He's roaming around. He's roaring. He's loud. He's aggressive in his attempt to devour. This beast is fiercely hungry for what? For saints to stop trusting God. He's eager for us to trust ourselves. He's eager for us to say, Lord, I'm going to handle this. And he waits for it. He loves it. He devours those situations. The term used here for the word devour literally means to drink down, to drink down. It's really a graphic word in the Greek, and it's the desire of the devil that he wants to completely annihilate. His desire is to completely remove faith from this earth. He doesn't want you believing in God. He doesn't want you believing in Jesus Christ. And he wants to actively drink that, to him it's mess. He wants to drink that mess up. Get it out of here. But our responsibility to attack, how do we resist that? By continuing in the faith. By continuing in our trust for the Lord. Now the point is here, while the devil is deceitful at times in his attacks, there are some sufferings and some persecutions that come which are fierce and devouring and result even in the removal of Christians from earth. You know, as I said, sometimes God brings a trial to us, but there are times that the devil attacks, persecutes. You think about the Christians all throughout history. Just in the time of Peter writing this book, just a few years later, Nero took the throne, and we know all the terrible campaigns that were done against the believers at that time, the saints of God, and this is going to continue on throughout history. Even in the tribulation period, there's going to be an increase of the attacks upon God's people. Satan causes a hatred in men's hearts for believers. He causes men to hate that faith that we as believers had. So whether the suffering is a trial brought by God, or if it's an attack of evil men influenced by the devil, Satan is always lurking and waiting to see one thing in your heart, believer. He wants to see your response. He wants to see your reaction. Are you going to be able to trust God in this tough scenario? I mean, look at the life of Job. What an example. And God gave Satan the power to affect Job's life. I mean, his entire family being destroyed. All of his sons and daughters, all of his belongings, everything he had, and then himself being brought down with the boils and the sick diseases that he had. And what did he continue? What was Satan wanting to do? He wanted to see if you would still trust God, Job. Are you going to do it? And Job was steadfast. He was faithful. Now, the Lord used it to teach Job a lesson in that book. But what was Satan doing? I don't really believe he's a man like after your heart. He's not a man that would still follow you, Lord, if I took everything he owned, took away that which is visible, so that Job would have to put faith in the invisible, in the unseen. And that's what God requires us to do today, to put faith and trust in what we can't see. We can't see him, but we know and we believe because the Word of God tells us and promises us. Now, what is then our response to be to this terrible desire of Satan to devour you? He wants you to not put belief. He wants you to stop trusting God. What should we do? Verse number 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, what is this response? It is to resist him steadfast in the faith, or literally, to stand against him in an unyielding manner, in a rigid manner. We're not going to give in. We're not going to allow him to have the occasion to devour and to drink down. Again, as I said, how are we able to do this? How are we able to stand steadfastly? By continuing to trust and rest in God. Continuing to cast our care upon him. It is trusting in God that defeats the goal of the devil. And his goal is for us to trust ourselves and not trust God. You know, some persecutions are short. Some are not as difficult, and we can kind of endure them. But some require us to be faithful even greater, to test our faith to a greater extent, even unto death. Many in history have paid the price for. We may die. The Satan may persecute, or the trial may be so intense that we may lose our life physically, but we resisted Satan. How? By exercising faith, by believing in what God says and not giving in to what Satan wants us to do. He desires faith to just be destroyed. These people that are believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, so he wants these hardships to come. He wants to devour us when we stop believing in Christ. So we must stand firm, as it says here. Resist steadfast. In what? In what? In the faith. Continue to believe the Word of God. That's how you stand against the devil. That's how you're able to resist his endeavor. Just wait. He's standing right beside you, waiting to attack, waiting for you to just kind of let go a little bit, and he's going to devour. Resist him steadfast. How? By faith, in the faith, in believing what God's Word has said and promised. I tell you, some situations are tough, and we don't understand how God's going to work it. We don't understand how God's going to bring us through this, but we've got to still believe his Word, that he cares for you and that you're under his mighty hand. And standing and resisting in that manner, Satan doesn't have a chance to devour you. He can't have his goal brought about lessening and weakening faith in our hearts. Now, Peter concludes this little section here with, I like to call it a morale booster. A morale booster. Look at this in verse number 9. Here, you may be going through something tough. You may think you are the only person that's going through a hardship that is just terrible. It's a tribulation. It's something that's pressing upon you. It's a burden to you. You begin to worry over it, and you're trying to cast that worry onto the Lord. You're thinking, whew, Lord, this is killing me. When is this going to be over? Look in verse 9. Here's a morale booster. Knowing that the same afflictions, the same ones you're going through, the same thing you're going through, people have gone through before. They are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Don't feel like you are the only one suffering, the only one being persecuted, and you get the little, you know, pity me mentality, whatever that is. All over the world, believers are suffering. They're going through these afflictions that are being accomplished in the lives of these believers. I thought of Elijah. Remember when Elijah fled away from Jezebel because she wanted to kill him, and he went over there and he sat under the juniper tree, and what did he do? He stuck out his big old bottom lip, you know, started pouting. Oh, Lord, you know, I'm all alone. Jezebel's trying to kill me, and now they want to take my life away. Oh, what am I going to do? There's nobody left. It's only me. And what did God tell him? Pretty much, what are you doing, fool? I have 6,000 people that you don't know about that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Get up off, quit your whining and pity party and get out there and be faithful. The afflictions are being accomplished in the brethren. We aren't the only ones going through trouble, hardships, and trials. There are others going through the same thing we are, and what is it? It's to be a united front. All the believers together, standing, resisting steadfast. Yes, even in the most difficult thing you can think of, I'm going to resist steadfast with my fellow brethren. They're going to pray for me. I'm going to pray for them. We're going to exercise faith in what God's promised us. And the devil is just going to have to stay over there. He can't devour. He can't. He's waiting for us to tip over and fall, but he's not going to get that opportunity because we're going to trust in God. I want to encourage you tonight, if you're going through a difficulty, a hardship, I don't know what really may be going on in your life, please realize that first, it could be from the mighty hand of God. It could be from him. I don't know. He may be trying to humble. He may be working that in your life, but it also could be because of Satan. As I said, it could come either way. And we need to be on our knees before the Lord, praying, Lord, help me to understand this circumstance. Help me to continue in the faith, to not give in, and to resist steadfast. How? By casting all my care, putting all my faith and trust completely in the God who's concerned and cares for me. What a privilege we have as believers to have a caring and loving Father. Even when it looks so bleak, we look to the future and we think, Lord, what is going on here? You know, our country's having all kinds of problems, and we look around and we see the economy and the world and the system and everything that's going on, and we think, Lord, what are we going to do? We're going to keep trusting because we have a more sure word of prophecy. It's this book that God's given us, and we're going to exercise faith and belief and trust in that, and in so doing, dear people, we will stand, resist steadfast against the devouring Satan who wants to destroy us. Father, I pray that you would just bless this message tonight. I pray, Father, that you would be with any of us that may be even going through something difficult now, right now. You just help them to exercise more faith and trust in you. And Father, I pray that you would just bless the future. We don't know what's going to happen. It's uncertain. But when things come, Lord, I pray that we, in our hearts, would yield to you and stand steadfast in the faith and cast our care upon you. Bless us now, Father, as we go to prayer. In Christ's name, amen.